It's time for Jason Wilde on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
Oh, this is good, and it's introduced by John Anderson because he will always ask how Jason is doing. Take it away, Professor.
Well, as you know, Homer, I love when Jason Wilde comes on because of all the people that are teammates of ours here at Good Karma. There's nobody I enjoy working with more than the two of you. So when Jason's here, I feel like, you know, we've got the full lineup. Right, Jason?
I'm no Buttigieg. I don't know if people got to see you on family night. If they didn't tune in, they missed you. But, yeah, I really enjoyed your appearance, and I did text John Sharapova to let him know that it would have been nice if he would have shouted us out instead of them. But it's good. Hey, I understand. Sure. You got a lot of great people that you've worked with over the years, and most of them aren't weird about my appearances the way Homer is.
So I didn't get to see all of it because it was not televised here in mid-Missouri. Was there some sort of jersey retirement ceremony for Omar Brown's number 40? apparently Xavier McKinney, everybody was wowed by our Nebraska safety, and apparently now he's the greatest 40 since Eddie Lee Ivory.
Yeah, he's the new Kevin Casevaharn. I really enjoyed being able to show off my incredible knowledge of family night and all the storms and everything else. For the uninitiated, Kevin Casevaharn was a corner, a white corner, which I remember talking with Charles Woodson about that years later, about guys that obviously Jason Sehorn is the most well-known. But Kevin Casevaharn, was really remarkable. He intercepted Brett Favre on family night, and all of a sudden everyone was like, well, this guy's a story. And he absolutely was. He spent time in the Arena League. He spent time in the XFL. But he did not make the Packers roster coming out of camp, despite his magical moment on family night. But it still launched his career. He was, you know, from Little Augustana College in South Dakota. And he ended up playing 9 NFL seasons with the Cincinnati Bengals, the New Orleans Saints, the Carolina Panthers, and the Tennessee Titans, which is not bad for a guy who played for the Iowa Barnstormers and the San Francisco Demons. It was a magical night for this guy. And that's what we saw from Omar Brown. Not one, not two, but 3 interceptions. I mean, crazy, right? And he's playing a position where you would have, you know, they don't have a whole lot of space. And so he's basically creating space out of nowhere because, you know, they've got Javon Bullard, they've got Evan Williams, they've got Ketan Oladapo, and oh, by the way, they've got the best safety in the league, first-team All-Pro in Xavier McKinney. Now, maybe there's a fifth safety. Last year, the fifth safety was Zane Anderson, who is a critical special teams guy. But Omar Brown, and this was McKinney's message to him on the sideline after the 3rd interception. Hey, this is great. Enjoy the moment. But you got a hell of a lot of work to do still to make this team. Like, this is one great night. And he was a little bit of a party pooper, but it's the truth. Because if he doesn't parlay this into, you know, really good film from the Jets game on Saturday and good film again when they play Indianapolis the following Saturday, then it's just going to be a neat little historical footnote from family night.
Who else, I guess, can we say distinguished themselves or, you know, went, oh, okay, well, that will be worth another look at during practice or during the Jets game?
I will say this. I thought Lucas Van Ness looked pretty darn good. Now, again, the problem with a scrimmage is, did Lucas Van Ness look good or did Jordan Morgan look bad? Jordan Morgan looked better than him in one-on-one pass protection slash pass rush drills. But at the same time, you know, that's one-on-one stuff. It's not actual football. Lucas Van Ness also could not sack the quarterback. So maybe Jordan Love would have eluded him. All those things come with this kind of a scenario. But for a guy that, you know, obviously there have been a lot of expectations, none of which he's actually lived up to after two seasons in the league, I thought he had a really good night. I thought Romeo Doubs, and he extended it again today with a 55-yard touchdown from Love. I thought Romeo Doubs had a good family night. He's just, you know, he catches the ball so well. You know, he's like out there like Cliff Branch with Stickum. Or who were the Stickum guys back in the day? Is Cliff Branch a Stickum guy?
No, Blitnikoff, his partner was.
Okay.
Freddie.
And so, yeah, so those guys, you know, he looks like he had a great moment. I think it was after you had made your appearance. They were doing the punt thing where you catch as many balls as you can while you're holding on to the ones you've previously caught. And he had caught six, and the seventh one was on the way, and he dropped one of the other ones. And then you're out, even though you didn't, you know, you didn't drop it. You dropped it while the play wasn't going on. And yet the ball is still coming, and so he drops all of the other balls. And then he just sort of grabs this ball right before it's, like, going to hit the ground, so nonchalantly just snatches it. And I thought, even though it didn't really matter because it was just a goofy little display, that shows how good his hands are. And, you know, I find myself wondering if he had had, I mean, hell, he could have called me. I would have been able to tell him this. If he had just had someone in his circle to have told him last year after four games before the Rams game, hey man, I know I'm not sure I understand why you're frustrated, but I know you are, but you got to push through this. You got to go to work today. I really do wonder, because I just have a hard time, you know, and I'm not here to speak for LaFleur, but my gut tells me that, you know, he's kind of operating under the fool me once, shame on me, fool me twice, you shouldn't fool people, or whatever it was George W. Bush said once upon a time. He's kind of had, they're not going to give him a mulligan for that. And maybe I'm wrong. And maybe he ends up, you know, playing really well this year. And they say, you know what? That was an isolated incident. We want this guy on our football team. But I still feel like the way, you know, and according to some of the people I've talked to in the building, like that was a, you know, that just doesn't happen in this league. And I don't think anything should be unforgivable that football players do in terms of making bad decisions like that. Like there are certainly, you know, really bad things that players do off the field that are irredeemable. Yeah. But from a football perspective, not coming to work, I'm not sure that should be disqualifying, but I don't know. I'm really curious to see what his season would have to look like for it to lead to him getting re-signed by these guys or getting an extension.
Dobbs drives with Hobbs. Is he really hurt? Did the surgery really happen? Or are we just trying to put him so we're putting him on the sidelines so nobody gets hurt?
No, he definitely had the surgery. You know, my issue is, and I totally get this, right? I mean, I'd gotten wind of this earlier in the weekend, and Bill Huber did a great job of getting a hold of what I presume was his agent to get confirmation. But, you know, the agent, or theoretically the source that he talked to, you know, said, oh, he'll be back for the opener. That's great. I mean, that's obviously the goal. But I would say hopefully he'll be back for the opener or could be back for the opener. I would definitely not say he will be back for the opener because, you know, it's 33 days from today that they open the season. And when you have your knee scoped, yes, it's not nearly as invasive as other things they could do, but you still had surgery. And to turn it around and be able to be – you know, Doc McKenzie is very cautious by nature. You would hate for him to come back too early and have it, you know, become a greater issue. So, look, he had an issue with his meniscus. They trimmed it. He's now going to be sidelined for the next 3 weeks, and then the hope would be that he would practice and be ready for the Lions. But this is what we were talking about all offseason, before and after they released Jaire Alexander. And you know, Goody stood there behind the Hudson Center after they released Alexander that day during the minicamp, and he said, "I feel really good about our top three guys, Nixon, Hobbs, and Valentine." Okay, well, now you're down to two. Now, maybe it's only short term, but that's the reason why you need better depth. You know, there's a reason why they always say that you can never have too many corners. Well, I don't think they have enough. They had to bring back Corey Ballantyne. They had to move Bo Melton to corner. They got two former, you know, they got three former seventh round corners, one of whom has proven that he is a legit NFL player in Carrington Valentine. One who in Kalen King, we have no idea. He didn't play a single snap last year. And now they've drafted Micah Robinson. So, you know, to me, that is a position that was a need. They turned it over but didn't add that many people, which is kind of weird, right? They didn't. Not only did they move on from Alexander, but they moved on from Eric Stokes. They moved on from Robert Rochelle the Musical. And they moved on from Ballantyne. He just happened to become available again right when they found out that Hobbs was going to be sidelined. So that feels to me like the danger zone of their roster, right? With the wide receivers they have in Detroit. And unfortunately for the Packers, they don't have Minnesota early, so Jordan Addison will get his three-game suspension out of the way, and he will not have played the Packers yet. I think they've got the Bears, the Falcons, and the Bengals for his three-game suspension.
Jason, I hate to interrupt, but what is the norm for a meniscus tear, a surgery, in terms of amount of time needing to come back? Because this has to happen all the time.
Yeah, it depends. And it's funny because obviously I saw Doc McKenzie today because of my foot, and he did Maddie's meniscus tear that she had, that she ran her entire cross-country season with because she's chip off her mother's block and is way tougher than me. But, like, it was like 6 to 8 weeks before she was cleared to start doing the stuff she really wanted to be doing. But she had a full, like,
because
really
I'm guessing NFL players have come back from meniscus tear
so
surgery.
It all depends on, all right, so there's a couple of things, and this is why I brought up Doc McKenzie, because what they did in Minnesota with J.J. McCarthy was they repaired it, and that knocked them out for the season. And then if you remember, late in the year, they ended up having to do another surgery. Now, I don't know, I don't want to violate HIPAA, and I don't know J.J. McCarthy's medical history, but traditionally what has happened with meniscus repairs is that they re-tear. And then they end up having to do the discectomy or whatever they call the trimming is. And so, like in Maddie's case last year, you know, she's a really, really good gymnast. She finished second in the country. She would not have been able to even do her gymnastics season had she repaired it.
Right.
And then as it turned out, so
No, with this
case,
information,
with
Hobbs, they got to get somebody else. This is not just, is he going to play back,
no,
but
no,
it's
no,
likely going to be
just
a problem.
Can't, no, you can't help yourself, can you? God, I love
no,
you.
No, I can't.
In Hobbs's case, it is a small tear. They trim it, and he recovers in 3 weeks. Seems aggressive to me, but 4 or 5 weeks, it really does. It's the repairs that take forever to heal. So, like, I don't know what they did with JerMichael Finley years and years ago. That was like 2009 when he missed the rest of the year, but he had a major tear. So what they try to do, though, is to basically trim out the dead part, and then it's a scope, so it's not invasive. So I would say most meniscus guys are probably out 6 weeks.
Okay.
And allegedly this one is a smaller tear. It was a very small amount that had to be trimmed away. and so he should be back sooner than that. But I don't buy 3 weeks. That's just my opinion.
They want him back for the Lions. And he's going to want to be back for the Lions, right? Nate Hobbs, we know how tough he is. 7'2.5". Is Hobbs going to want to play for? He's going to say, "I'm playing against the Lions." Will Doc McKenzie let him play?
Well, he'll want to be back. But I tell you, the meniscus is, that's one of those things that even the little ones, there are more complications out of that. I feel like the meniscus, when they even say it's just a slight tear and it's just a little, like, that always still becomes a big problem. That's like, I'd rather have my entire shoulder redone than the meniscus. And oh, by the way, when you're 42, when that thing, that'll start telling you when the weather, you know, the weather report, because that means you're on the way to arthritis and that knee too. But the meniscus is always repair or even trimming or whatever they do, because cartilage doesn't grow back and all that other stuff. I don't feel like there's any really minor meniscus procedure.
It's like minor brain surgery.
So then now I'm thinking he should be out 6 weeks. Everybody should realize in the best interest of the Packers, he should be out 6 weeks. Dr. Anderson, Dr. Wilde, as listening to what the two of you said, don't be stupid. He's gone 6 weeks. You want him for the season. Am I trying too hard again, Dr. Wilde?
Again, I haven't looked at the scans, Dr. Homer. So I don't know.
Going to have to see the film. Got to see the film to see what's going on.
All right. Thanks, Jason. Sorry to interrupt. I should have stayed on the cot.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
All right. Well, it wasn't just what Dr. Wilde said. It's what you said.
Yeah, guys, dude, I don't think there's any – the meniscus is a tricky deal.
Right. So if it's a tricky deal, I'm talking to Nate at night. You're out 6 weeks.
I would tell you right now, I don't think he's back for week one.
Okay. And if he does, it would be a mistake. He's not back. Right? If he is, it'd be a mistake. It'd be a risk based on what you just said. All right.
Yes, but not everybody's different. Right? Everybody's different. It's like you would have never thought that Adrian Peterson should have come back from an ACL and he did that. So certain – it's not like there are –
Right, but that would be rare.
People that are better. But
there's
most
a norm.
People,
and this would
norm
be rare.
Think is not back. That would be the norm.
Yeah. Who knew? Did you ever think about being a doctor?
No.
Oh, all right. All right, Jason.
I've seen a lot of people hurt.
Jason Wilde. Yeah, he's right. So you have a repair and you have a small tear. But what I learned from the discussion is, as I learned about from Tony Smith, the calf injury. Don't be thinking this is you don't want this. And I think the meniscus tends to be. I think my daughter actually had it, though I know far less than the two of you. It was always, I thought, the knee injury you wanted. Better than the ACL or what's the other one?
ACL or MCL.
Yeah, you have a chance to come back. She came back after I don't know how long. And now I realize, well, maybe you'd like it, but it's still got issues. Don't think it's nothing, right? I mean, isn't that what you would choose? Yeah. If you were going to hurt your knee, you'd want the meniscus to be the injury rather than the other two.
Yes.
Yeah.
The thing with the meniscus is once it starts, because you've torn a little of it, so it's already weakened, and even if you trimmed it off, now there's not as much there as it used to be. And like I said, it doesn't grow back. There's nothing. So now it's gone. It doesn't regenerate.
Got it.
Whereas at least you repair the...
So you're probably going to have another meniscus.
At some point, he will have trouble with the knee again in his life.
Because if you had the full thing and you repaired it, then you've decreased the possibility of another problem with it, right?
Yeah, but like Jason said, even then the repair is not—it's not great because it's not a big. Right. It's a thin and it's flimsy and it's hard to sew together and keep repaired.
Yeah, so if anybody's listening and trying as hard as I am, just understand, Nate Hobbs playing against Detroit, anything's possible, but don't count on it.
I think that's a no.
Yes. Next. Hey, Wisconsin sports fans, it's almost that time of the year again. On August the 20th, we will have the Fantasy Football Draft back at ESPN Wisconsin. Takes over the Potawatomi Sportsbook for another exclusive event. Call to join my fantasy league. I finished second last year in the league. And as far as the event, free food, free, great prizes, the full VIP experience, all for fans 21 and up. And again, Potawatomi Sportsbook, August the 20th. If you can't make it, don't call because you serve no purpose. if you don't want to be in the league, and you can't be in the league unless you're there on the 20th. Thank you. Caller number 10 and 11, both of you, caller 10 and 11, will win a spot in the Homer Fantasy Football League. I thought of calling it 7-2.5, but they voted it down. 1-800-990-3776. Caller 10, caller 11. Again, you got to be able to be there August the 20th and pick the John Anderson Homer Hour. All right, we're putting up this. Have you put it up yet, Pedal? You got like a million things to do. I don't know if you put the Discount Liquor Twitter poll question up. I got to check. The question is, and this is the most important vote there will be. You ready?
Let's have it.
Matthew Golden, wide receiver, will lead the Packers in catches, receiving yards, receiving touchdowns, or none of the above. Yards, receiving touchdowns, receptions, or none of the above. Good question.
His best chance is at yards.
Okay. Now, you're not going to win receptions. I agree with you there. But no, yards.
I think that'll be a tight end. I think that'll be Kraft.
Yeah. And Kraft might also be receiving touchdowns. Yeah, who's going to be good in the zone? Receiving yards, Matthew Golden. That would be your vote. That's a good vote. I might steal that. So that's how we have it. We have you pick one of the one of those three or none of the above. The safest bet is none of the above. But
you can't be a cop out. We gotta give the guy. We gotta try something. You know.
No, I'll be a cop out. I'll totally be a cop out. But he's impressed everybody enough that it's worthy to think he could lead in something. And the best one I think is yards. He could have fewer catches, but I would say this: if I added a fourth one, yards per catch, he will lead in yards per catch.
Yeah,
that's too easy, isn't it?
Yeah, he'll probably, 16, 17 yards?
Yeah.
Old school, give me a Bob Hayes 22, but I don't know that he's there. But, yeah, I think he will be.
Bill Schrader for the Packers. He had a pretty good number there. The most underappreciated wide receiver in the history of the Packers. Everybody hated him. He seemed to like that. Motivated him, I guess.
Son was a great track at. Well, he was a great track.
He was a great everything. He's done long driving distances too. Now he's into that. He did that for a while. His son's.
By the way, as wide receivers go, what did you think of Sterling's performance going into the Hall?
So long overdue,
right?
But Sterling was rude to everybody there. I mean, he didn't talk to anybody. He got mad at somebody. You weren't important enough. He just talked to the national people. I mean, in terms of being a jerk. Sterling Sharp's right up there at the top all time for me in terms of covering the Packers. I don't care. Mm-hmm. He was dominant. He was so good. And to think that what always amazed me, when Brett Favre was a quarterback, everybody knew he was throwing to Sterling Sharp. I always wondered why they didn't have five guys around Sterling Sharp, because I believe with five guys around, Brett Favre still would have thrown the ball to him. And his career ended because of injury. And he was as dominant as anybody for a certain period of that. And I thought almost like he wasn't, remember, like Gale Sayers. But I thought it was absurd that he wasn't in. I would have voted for him the first time I could.
He played seven years, right? It wasn't like it was four and out. And by the way, he had some marvelous seasons before Favre showed up. And the quarterbacks were not great.
Right.
When he did.
So, you know, and your thought on Sterling Sharp?
He had, he worked at our place for a while too, and he was always, you know, good enough to that staff. I've seen some of the things that you talk about, right? When he was in that locker room, he was for sure. But the funniest thing he ever said to me one time is that, you know, they had the laminated play sheet that they had. And, you know, Holmgren had all the plays in the front, but he had about five on the back that were just Sterling plays. And he used to always say, like, guys, we want to use all these. Don't make me turn over and just do these, right? Like, let's try to have some variety in our offense. Don't make me flip the chart over and let's go, okay, we're just going to throw to 84. Those are the plays we're going to use.
Explain that to me. Like, he knew he wouldn't have to do that, or did he – what – he was just being funny, or –
No, I think McCarthy, Holmgren wanted to generally have, or Holmgren generally wanted to have a balanced offense.
Oh, okay.
Like he couldn't, like, I don't want to have to throw it to Sterling.
But he knew he wasn't going to because nobody he had was anywhere near as good as Sterling Sharp, right?
So he would go through it and he'd try his best to do all that in the formative right. years. But he's like, don't make me turn the play sheet over because then I'm just going to call all these plays that go to 84. But, you know, if we get in a spot and that's what I have to do, I will do it. But I'd prefer to do it the other way. And we look like a football team that has 11 guys participating and not just one.
The fourth quarter with John Anderson, the professor, next. Tune in to Behind the Bucks podcast on the Bucks Plus Audio Network, presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker. An H&R benefits consultant, Behind the Bucks brings you exclusive access and untold stories about the greatest stars and moments in Bucks history. Go behind the scenes of Giannis Emmy-nominated documentary. Hear about the true origins of Bucks in six and more. Find Behind the Bucks on Bucks.com/plus. The Bucks app, the new ESPN Wisconsin app, and wherever you get your podcast. Behind the Bucks is presented by Gallagher. It's a perfect intro to Ask John Anderson. I need your help. The ESPN guy, Shams Charania. Did I say his name right? I want to make sure I don't. Is that?
Shams, yeah.
Okay. Anyway, he's saying that Giannis still hasn't decided. And Giannis is saying, I'm coming back to Milwaukee. Here's what I believe is going on. The agents for Giannis are telling Shams, look it. We haven't decided yet. He hasn't decided yet because they want the Bucks to continue to think they need to do more and more and more and more until Giannis makes his decision. Giannis has said, fine, say whatever you want, but I'm coming back to Milwaukee and I may make comments what I want, whether people think I'm coming to Milwaukee. Because the same day Shams says he hasn't decided, Giannis says, yep, Milwaukee, and gives him a wink. Is my analysis of what's going on have any credibility whatsoever? If you agree, it will. If you won't, then I got to go to plan B.
No, I think he wants to. I think, yeah, the agents, they've got to keep leverage as long as they can, right? They've got to keep the leverage for their client. They want to keep the Brewers, the Bucks pushing in the right direction. So, yeah, I think there's some smoke screen there coming from the other side. Because I don't think there's anything about the kid that we've watched in his time here that says smoke screen.
Haven't convinced Giannis to run the same smoke screen. He's not doing it.
No, so he'll let them do it, and he'll, you know, try to, I think, you know, say as little as possible. But I don't think he's in a position where he's going to lie or mislead anybody.
Because it just seems odd.
I think you're right.
Yeah. Anything else I'm right about, or what do you want to close with? What does John? This is a new segment.
Get enough of these things, you can bring down a bear. Let it be said, I didn't say that time. That was on tape in case you can't tell the difference between them.
It's true.
I don't know. Hey, I think I'll do the show next week from Green Bay. I'm going to drive up. My son and I are going to drive over to come see the game on Saturday night.
Will you give people a chance to know where you are so they can chase you down?
I'm in my seats where I'm always at, whatever we are, section 111 or whatever. All right. Row 11, section 104. I don't know. We're down there in the
end. All right. Enjoy on the tee next.
Get enough bee stings, you can bring down a bear.
Yeah.